Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who is seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, for the past 2 months, our house has been filled with the constant sights and sounds of Hallmark Christmas movies. So some of you know what I'm talking about. At the end of October, the Hallmark Movie Channel starts showing these incredibly formulaic, sappy, highly addictive, apparently, Christmas movies that they make. So these aren't movies in the theaters that then come, these are movies they make just for TV. And they are always about the young, career-driven woman in the big city who's forgotten the true meaning of Christmas until she somehow gets stuck in a small town named Evergreen or Garland or something like that. And she falls in love with the ruggedly handsome local handyman who shows her what Christmas is all about. She ends up staying in the small Christmas town, forsaking her career, where they live happily ever after. Or the handsome fireman who doesn't believe in love and says he'll never get married until he takes in a stray cat at Christmas time and begins falling in love with the woman at the pet store who also has a cat, and their cats start falling in love and they kiss for the first time, the people, not the cats, for the first time under the mistletoe, and they live happily ever after. Or there's always one about an American woman who's a housekeeper or a tailor or something like that, and she falls in love with a European prince. But she's not sure she's good enough for him, and his mother, the queen, is certain that she's not good enough for him until the big Christmas ball, where they all discover what love really is and live happily ever after. Every single Hallmark Christmas movie has some variation of those three plot lines. You just move some things around and you got a new movie. And they have been on our televisions nonstop for the past 2 months. And not just this year. Year after year. I've seen all of them, right? Not entirely by my own choosing. I have given in to the fact that these movies are just going to be our constant background noise for 2 straight months every year. And it's actually more than 2 months, because the Hallmark Channel also does a Christmas in July, where they show all these movies during the summer. And we have about 30 of them recorded on our DVR so that Jen can watch them whenever she wants. There was a time when I resisted this, and I made fun of these. I still make fun of the movies, but I've stopped resisting because I love my wife and I want her to be happy. And yes, they are sappy and formulaic, and they always end with every problem impossibly solved. Everything that was wrong in everyone's life is fixed, and they always live happily ever after. But when the alternative is the reality of the world around us, a constant stream of bad news and violence and political fighting and fear and hatred and sickness and suffering and death, as depicted nonstop on social media and 24-hour cable news networks, when that's the reality of the world around us, I can understand wanting to live in the small Christmas town where everything that's wrong is always made right. And so with that in mind, our scripture reading for Christmas Eve is from the book of Revelation. I know we're used to coming here every year and hearing about angels and shepherds and baby in a manger and lighting candles and singing our favorite Christmas carols, being wrapped up in the mysterious peace of this night and being transported back to the Christmases of our childhood. The last thing that we want to hear about on Christmas Eve is the end of the world. But bear with me for a minute, right? Because Christmas is not just about celebrating the way that Christ was born 2,000 years ago. It is also about expectantly waiting and hoping for Christ to come again. It's not just about the first coming, it's also about the second coming. And that is what we see in Revelation. Matthew and Luke give us the story of the first coming of Christ when God began this process of redeeming the world, while Revelation sets forth a vision of the second coming of Christ, when that redemption is made complete and all things are made new. The problem is that we get so caught up in the strange, confusing imagery of Revelation. Dragons and fires and plagues and all of that. We get so caught up in that that we end up viewing this as a terrifying book about the end of the world. But this is actually an incredibly hopeful book about everything that is wrong being made right. It's actually less like the cable news with its violence and fear and death, and more like the Hallmark Christmas movie where we all live happily ever after. So Revelation, a little background real quick, was written somewhere around the year 100 AD. We don't know for sure, but it's somewhere right around there, in a time when Christians were beginning to be persecuted by the Roman government. It was illegal to be a Christian. They viewed Christians as a threat to the social order, and so the Roman government was starting to crack down. They were oppressing, arresting, and even killing Christians. Most Christians worshipped and practiced their faith in secret. John, who wrote Revelation, had been arrested and imprisoned on the Greek island of Patmos. He's a leader in the early church, and he sees his fellow Christians suffering and living in fear of the Roman Empire, but he can't be with them to support them and encourage them. So he writes a letter to seven churches in seven cities that are close by. In the letter, John tells them about this vision that he has received from God. And the vision is filled with all of this strange imagery. Dragons and beasts and angels blowing trumpets and strange men riding horses and war between heaven and earth, between the powers of good and the powers of evil. Imagery that would have meant something to them at the time, but 2,000 years later is largely lost to us. You see, they had to practice their faith in secret. John couldn't just write what he wanted to say. He had to say it in a way that if any Romans read this letter, they wouldn't understand what he was talking about, and the Christians he was writing to wouldn't get in trouble. So he uses imagery to convey this message. And when you start digging into that imagery, which we don't have time to do here tonight, you start to see that these dragons and beasts and all this other stuff, they're symbols for Rome. And what John is saying to his fellow Christians is, it will not be like this forever. I know that it is hard right now. I know that it is scary and you are suffering, but a time is coming when God is going to defeat the evil powers that are oppressing you. So hang in there. And trust God. Stand firm in your faith. Keep holding on to God and to each other. Don't give up. Because God is going to make right everything that is wrong. And we end up with the passage that we read tonight, where John says, God will wipe every tear from your eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. See, I am making all things new. And the reason this will happen, John says, is because the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them. They will be God's people. And God himself will be with them. What we celebrate tonight is that the home of God is among mortals. That in Jesus Christ, God dwells with us. We are God's people, and God himself is with us. That in the birth of a baby 2,000 years ago, God began the process of redeeming the world, healing the world, making right everything that is wrong. But Christmas is bigger than one day 2,000 years ago. It's about God's promise to overcome all the powers that keep us from living the fullness of life. The promise of Christmas is bigger than cancer or Alzheimer's. The promise of Christmas is bigger than death. The promise of Christmas is bigger than divorce or broken relationships. The promise of Christmas is bigger than our political differences and disagreements. The promise of Christmas is bigger than addiction. The promise of Christmas is bigger than our sins and our mistakes and our failures, what we have done or what has been done to us. The promise of Christmas is bigger than our doubts about God or about ourselves. The promise of Christmas is bigger than our pain and our secrets and our sadness and our anxiety and our fear. It's about all the ways that God enters into this world and enters into our lives and makes everything new. The promise of Christmas is that God is with us in all the sin and suffering of life, and that God is working to make it all right. That process began in the birth of Jesus. It will one day be fulfilled when Christ comes again. But for now, it is up to us to bear witness to the light of Christ in the world today, to tend the flames of hope and peace and joy and love in the midst of the darkness. Author Howard Thurman writes, "I will light candles this Christmas, candles of joy despite all sadness, candles of hope where despair keeps watch, candles of courage where fear is ever present, candles of peace for tempest-tossed days, candles of grace to ease heavy burdens, candles of love to inspire all my living, candles that will burn all the year long." We're getting ready to light our candles in just a moment. And when we do, may that light remind you that the promise of Christmas is bigger than tonight or tomorrow or whatever challenges you are facing in these days. May the light of Christ's hope and peace and joy and love shine among us tonight and all the year long, till Christ comes again to make all things, even us, new.